You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Happy holidays, everyone, and we're indeed having a cheery one at OneOfUs.net because of our brand new beer sponsor. Everyone say hello to Circle Brewing. You can visit them at circlebrewing.com or come to their tap room in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. But these are A-quality craft beers all the way. Quite a few of their beers are available to buy at your local quality beer retailer in the can or the bottle. My personal fave is the Blur. Their Hefeweizen that I've been regularly quoted as saying is the finest hefe made in America. Or their delicious Lady Bird IPA. But visit the tap room for seasonal treats that will definitely delight your taste buds. Now that's what the Ghost of Christmas Present showed us. The Ghost of Christmas Future has a more dismal outlook. But it depends on you to keep the apocalyptic future where OneOfUs.net no longer exists from ever happening. We depend on subscribers to keep the site running. We literally cannot put out our shows without you. And that ghoulish specter is even now pointing down at the gravestone with our name on it. Please think about becoming a subscriber, get lots of bonus content, and keep one of us from joining the darkest timeline. I think the question on all of our, the tip of our tongues is, can Beale Street talk? Is that the big, is this a living street?
It will not shut the fuck up, okay? Oh my God, no.
Everyone asks.
A laugh a minute.
Yeah, no. Beale Street numbers are really great, though.
Beale Street could talk and be like, ow! I did not get to see this movie, and I'm very sad about this, because this is one of the ones that a lot of critics were really excited about and anticipating, directed by Barry Jenkins, who of course did the last-minute Academy Award-winning Moonlight. Yeah, really. That was still... I watch the Oscars every year. I have never seen that shit happen.
That shit crazy.
I was at a party and people were literally exchanging cash at the moment that, and then giving it back.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Can you imagine what it was like backstage?
Right? Oh, just total chaos. Well, the people who did see it are...
Lara.
Frank.
And Ian.
So who is going to tell me what the plot of this movie is?
Not me.
Okay, well,
yeah,
off the top of my head, I cannot remember any characters' names, so I'm just gonna go for it.
Bonnie.
Bonnie, yeah, that's
Bonnie.
One of the Fonny.
There we go.
Fonny
and Tish.
And Tish, there we go. Okay, so we're in the '70s, it's in New York, and we have a young man, young woman, Fonny and Tish, you know, they fall in love. And the whole movie it's based off a James Baldwin novel. And it has this very kind of non-linear structure to it. Where you're, you know, present day, where Fonny's in prison, you know, for he's accused of rape, and everybody's saying, you know, he didn't do it, and they're trying to get him out of prison because Tish is pregnant with his kid, and so we see kind of these two storylines of in the present, you know, them trying to find a way to exonerate him before the kid is born, and then flashing back to earlier in their relationship when they were together, seeing them, you know, fall in love, seeing. Just a lot of their daily life and the dynamic in their family and just what life is like, you know, living on Beale Street in the 70s.
Okay, which I imagine is – Beale Street is where?
In New York.
In New York?
New York, yes.
So are we talking about what section of New York is this in?
I think it's – No, it wasn't the Bronx. I think it was Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Brooklyn.
If it was Bronx, it'd be, every building would be like burned to the ground.
Yeah, we're all geographically challenged when it comes to New York, clearly.
I mean, is Beale Street famous for any events happening on it? Was there like a riot or
that's what we have you for, Chris. I don't know.
Oh, damn it. Did not do my job.
This is when we all say that we actually didn't see this movie.
I clearly did not look up enough information about this.
Yeah, no, I feel like it was Harlem, isn't it?
Maybe it was. I don't know. They moved around a lot.
Yeah, they did.
So, it wasn't like it was in one spot.
Oh, so they went to... They lived
in... Location does play a key role in a plot point.
Okay, so they lived in different places on Beale Street, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think, there's a quote at the beginning that Beale Street could be anywhere, like in Jackson, Mississippi, or could be in New York, but, you know, everybody... It's that neighborhood that you grew up in as you know, a young black child and, you know, the people.
Beale Street is everywhere. It is everywhere that, you know,
So it stands as a, sort of a symbol for anywhere that, poor black children grew up in a poor neighborhood.
Yeah.
Rather than being any sort of historical context specifically for the real, he asked, Beale Street.
Yeah.
And that's the plot of the movie.
Okay. There you go.
So are Tish and Fonny, played by Kiki Layne and Stephen James, are they related? Or are they just friends?
Yeah, they've known each other since they were children.
Childhood friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're very much like from the off, you get that these are just, you know, two, just, you know, soulmates practically, mm-hmm. you know, they're just like, they've always been by each other's side and they just have that very special bond that some couples do. That's just, you know,
so they become a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And the story is about that and it unfolds.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
Over different periods of time.
Yeah.
Is it non-linear? It's non-linear. It's back and forth.
I guess it takes place. Yeah. It's one of those that takes place in like, I guess in the space of a few weeks, a few months, actually a few months, because
really.
Yeah, because she's pregnant.
And the time is not told.
It's non-linear.
It's a lot of flashbacks.
You know, it's a week here and a week there and a day here. No, it's not like that.
When the movie starts, it's Tish just finding out that she's pregnant and telling everybody. And then from there, kind of the two storylines split off where we have the one in the present of, you know, following the pregnancy and following everything that they're trying to do to get Fonny out of prison or Tish out of prison.
Fonny.
I'm getting them confused. Sorry, I'm bad with names.
So why did Fonny go to prison?
He was accused of raping a woman, even though the police officer that picked him up, you know, they had a previous run-in and everybody else is going, no, he was clearly on the other side of town. You know, it wasn't him.
Yeah, it'd be impossible for him to be like where the rape happened and where he actually was.
And the more they kind of delve into the case, the more it becomes obvious that like, this is something's up here.
It was just a setup.
So is this a political movie, you would say?
No, it really is just about this relationship and watching the two of them try to endure this.
It's a love story.
It's a very touching love story.
It's in a way, it's just as much of a love story as Moonlight was. You know, it's this very, very kind of tender, very emotional story.
Very close and intimate.
Yeah, very intimate. Yeah, set against this, you know, at times really kind of depressing, horrifying backdrop.
It is a love story. It was also common, just like Moonlight, on the black experience of New York in the 70s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And probably to some degree still today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Poor black people being arrested for nothing.
Look at today's political climate. But again, it's not, I wouldn't call it necessarily a political statement against what's happening today.
No, it is first and foremost a love story, but it does definitely have that undercurrent kind of running throughout the whole
slice of lifey.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. It's an honest portrait.
And it's just about these two people's lives during this small portion of their life.
When it starts, he's in jail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the flashbacks show how they grew up, how they fell in love.
The evolution of their
everything leading up to him going to jail.
And then it keeps flashing forward to her trying to, what do we do? How do we get him out of jail?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I presume that a lot of that is fruitless.
Yeah.
It's not what I call an upper of a movie.
It does not bear fruit. No. Yeah.
But it's also, it's not like
trying so hard here.
But it's also not, it's not this like really intense, like emotionally draining downer. You know, it does.
It's very soul.
I fell in love with these people.
Yeah.
It does drain you though, but it drains you because it just pulls you in so much.
Yeah. In a very cathartic way. Like you get to the end and again, much like Moonlight, you get to this point where it's not that things end badly or that things end, you know, in this great, you know, happily ever after kind of a sense, but it ends in a very honest place. Mm-hmm. And you just leave feeling very emotionally kind of drained.
Yeah.
You know,
because you invested like more than you thought you would.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's dark, but on the good side, Brian Tyree Henry sells a single as Paperboy.
He's great in it.
He's really great.
He's really good. Yeah, whole cast. There's a lot of like,
Regina Hall.
Regina Hall's in it.
King.
Regina King.
I was going to say,
She just picked up two National Board Review Award and New York Film Critics Award for her role in this film.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because, she's amazing. Like, she just breaks your heart.
Yeah, this whole cast, it's got a lot of well-known faces just sort of spread throughout in a lot of these really small supporting roles.
Mm-hmm. They're great.
Diego Luna shows up for like 5 minutes.
Dave Franco.
Franco.
I was like, what?
Finn Wittrock from American Horror Story, amongst other things.
Yeah.
He was the attorney.
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal, yeah.
Oh, no, wait. Who was he?
He was in with the Puerto Rico section.
That was him.
That's a lot of these great actors are just kind of blowing for a scene, maybe two tops, you know.
Yeah.
They don't really spend a lot of time. Because they're like,
what, Barry Jenkins is doing another movie? Yeah, we already cast it. Well, is there anything small?
Yeah.
I'll do whatever.
But it really goes a long way with this movie because a lot of those actors give these, you know, kind of small supporting parts, really imbue them with a humanity mm-hmm. and a sense of history. And it really helps go a long way with this movie of really putting you in New York in the 70s and making it feel like a real lived-in place. See,
through the eyes of someone who's black. And I really – one of the scenes that was – or sequences that was just like really struck me was her – she has a job behind a perfume counter at this very like ritzy department store.
Oh,
and she's recounting narration while all this is happening, the different sorts of customers – that will approach her,
fantastic.
Know, and the way they'll treat her, like white man will just grab her hand and like smell it. And
so it's done with like a voiceover narration type of thing.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to, you know, see how the human experience she has according to, you know, everyone she encounters on a daily basis, just based on who she is. And
this movie sucks you in. I mean, you're in the middle of all their love. You're in the middle of the people, in the middle of the relationship, and it's lovely, and you fall in love with them as they fall in love. I did, at least. And it's very intimate and close. And I was like, oh, I love these people, and I love this family, and I want it to end, but I don't want it to end. But then, oh my God, hurry up. And then, no, I really like looking at it. But
it's also a very beautiful looking film.
Yeah.
Oh my God, these colors
gorgeous.
Are so great.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to look at it forever.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Totally beautifully shot. It's, mm-hmm. Oh, it's great.
And that's the thing. That's I think what I'm realizing between this and Moonlight is Barry Jenkins' greatest strength is kind of the empathy that he has as a filmmaker to just put you in these situations and just make you feel so much, know, of where these characters are at and really put you in their shoes. Mm-hmm. And that's the far and away the greatest thing about this movie.
Didn't you find it he was able to craft a world that was so their own? Like when the first time they go on a subway together and you see white people, it took me out. Completely. I was like, oh, wow. Because I was just so in their world and just so, you know, what they were. Yeah, it was. That's Barry Jenkins. That's incredible.
They're
little
people. Their relationship was so inclusive that it really was.
Their whole world.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was even they, when they see a white person, are like, guys!
Yeah.
it was just lovely.
Well, and even then, by doing that, it just makes, like, the stakes of what they're trying to overcome that much, seem that much more, you know, large and almost impenetrable, because you're so there with them that, you know, all these scenes that are just so seemingly simple, like, you know, just two people talking in a room, it's the most like gripping, nerve wracking scene you've seen all year. Cause you're just so like, you need to get through this. Like, and you're so just like right there with them. Mm. And it really does. Yeah. Like you said, it puts you right in their lives better than any movie I've seen this year.
I know he's also a very visual director in a lot of ways. Yeah. So there are things that like moments that visually you felt like were, wow, that was so striking.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Every movie's like that.
There's so many like great compositions here. I mean, like I said before, the perfume encounter, I mean, that's its own little world that he like constructs. And
he does a lot of, there's a really lot of interesting visual kind of things that he plays with this movie. Like what you were saying with, no matter where it is, giving each different place its own kind of visual texture almost, each location, shooting it differently so that even if you don't, when you're cutting back and forth between all these different time periods and all these different locations, even if intellectually you don't realize at first where you're at, you kind of subconsciously go, oh, this is where we're at, just of, you know, how he stages things, the color palette, the choice of lighting.
The narration helps a lot.
The narration helps a lot. Yeah.
Really the lighting's world. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Lighting's great. And he does a lot of what, you know, Jonathan Demme would do back in the day of having these very intimate conversations with people and just, you know, almost, you know, removing the camera from that situation and just having, you know, people
like straight
look,
on.
You know, straight on dead into that camera and almost remove that extra layer of security that you have as an audience member. So you are right there with
that. Being said, I had two things that popped in my head when he said that. One was Fonny going to tissue, put solution in the basket. I'm sitting up on stage going, why is this suit so big?
I thought it was really crazy when they had that Talking Heads musical number at the end. That was really cool.
Wait, what? Is the only white white person in the whole movie is David Byrne.
Yeah.
We should also talk about the costumes. It seems like everybody here was dressed like so strikingly.
I love the costumes.
Like, Fonny has this like really vibrant green sweater on for like this huge scene. And,
wait.
Do you remember that?
She had the jacket.
He had this really this green sweater. But you know,
was like her world. I feel like the green was her. And everything that green was green.
Yeah.
Was part of her world. So when they're like in their shared apartment,
yeah,
it suddenly turned into some green stuff, and then the red was like their love, symbols of their love, and then the parents' love. I don't know.
So it opens up with her playing banjo in a swamp.
I don't know. It seems like the costumes were everybody was dressed so vibrantly. It felt like it. I don't know. It sort of spoke to like, I don't know how much emotion and passion were in everybody's lives. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was so everything about this film was its own little world.
Yeah, it's one of from a makeup, you know, hair and costuming standpoint. This is like one of the best movies I've seen in a long time because there is so much care and so much detail put into all these just small little things that you don't even necessarily really notice them. But it's like there's so much heart and there's such a history to every single choice. Mm-hmm. What somebody's wearing, you know, how somebody looks, you know, what they do with the makeup. A lot of care. And even if you can't tell like what exactly they're trying to go for, you get this sense of a history and you get this sense of a really a lived in experience. Right. And it's coming from a very earnest, honest place.
How would you, I mean, does this seem like a Best Picture no-brainer nominee?
It does. Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Yeah. But where would you rank this with Moonlight? Would you think this is better than it?
I would say it's, I mean, I would need some more time, you know, but I feel like it's comparable to Moonlight, you know.
Well, they're both so different.
They are.
They're both giving two different perspectives on the black experience.
Yeah.
And I think this one's more richer because the text is so much more expansive.
Mm.
And it's more classic.
It's probably bigger budgeted too.
Yeah,
it's stylistic. Kind of,
yeah.
Very, very stylistic. So, well, not very, but it's super
and
stylistic.
You wouldn't say like there's anything that needs trimming here or points because at 117 minutes, a lot of movies can't support that weight.
I thought that the Puerto Rico sequence was a little too long for my taste. Although I wouldn't. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very vital, but at the same time,
it's pretty long.
Yeah.
Moments of it. Sometimes it drags, but at the same time, I'm just...
What would you cut?
Exactly.
That's the thing, yeah.
I'm like, God, I just really want to get... I want to know what's happening, but at the same time, I just want to look at it.
There's
I want to experience what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
And with, like, the, you know, the pacing, not just the pacing, but also the cinematography and the music, it weaves this very, like, almost dreamlike kind of quality to it.
It's got the music.
The music especially.
It reminded me, actually, of Paul Thomas Anderson, the Phantom...
Oh, Phantom Thread.
Thread.
A little bit.
I love Phantom Thread.
You did.
I did.
You're the guy.
I am the guy.
God.
Don't add me anybody. I really love Phantom Thread.
One thing I liked about it was the music underneath. It was like a river of piano music.
And it's like
great score.
This was the violins. The violin always in the background for their love. And then you'd have some jazz happening. But then whenever they would come back.
So lots of sax and violins, as you're saying.
A lot of violins.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it might be a little long. Like, I definitely felt that writing time. But thinking about it, I don't know what I would cut out of it without really losing, not even plot stuff, but just emotionally what I would lose from the movie.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
This is not a shoot 'em up action film.
No, I sense that. That sequence where they dive off the Empire State Building and have a midair fight, it's amazing.
I thought when the jetpacks came out, that was a bold bold left turn.
Kristen Wiig was good in this movie, by the way.
I mean, it is the 70s. They're like, I forgot to mention, when they turn 30, they have to go to Carousel and die. So, everyone wears silver jumpsuits.
Yes, that scene. Where Pedro Pascal looked down and his wrist started blinking. I was like, oh no!
Pedro was like, the guns are good, the penis is bad.
Sean Connery's appearance in this is the racist cop, really. Him and his red leather diaper really threw me for a loop, I gotta say.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. Frank, get us started.
This is really, I think I tweeted this after the movie, so I'm just kind of repeating myself. But, this is really an enriching experience. It's a kind of, only like truly great cinema can make you feel like this. Drained, but this also enlivened at the same time. And, every inch of this movie is flawless. It's, production-wise, story-wise, acting-wise. Like, oh my gosh. I mean, this is going to be one really to beat this year.
Huh.
And, I love that something like this and something like Roma are being, like, touted as much as they are right now. And, yeah, this is nobody that will see this will leave without feeling something.
Okay.
Or feeling changed in some way. I really got to give this. I'll have more to say about this later because right now I'm just I'm swimming in like this. But I got to give this 10 out of 10. Restaurants that'll give me credit for free meals.
Nice. Laura.
Oh, I agree with everything you said. I'm still like just bathing in I just watched, and I want to like just keep the images in my head. This is definitely something to be. I don't think anything else can touch this. And I know that I loved Anna and the Apocalypse.
You did. You gave that a 10.
I gave that a 10. However,
we didn't have nearly enough.
So you're going to give Anna the Apocalypse.
How much better would this have been if singing and zombies and Christmas?
Oh my God. If Beale Street could stalk.
Missed opportunity, Barry. No. I loved it. I loved being in it. I think that everybody will feel something from this. I mean, if you don't, you are not human. And it's lovely. The characters, they're adorable.
I can get her face out of my...
Love, out of she is... Yeah. Yeah, she will stick in people's head forever. She's adorable. And I loved it. And I loved looking at it. I love the colors. I love the cinematography, the lighting. I mean, the music. It's all there. It is all there. It's so nice. So I give it top marks. I give it a 10 green, blue, red color patterns on.
Green sweaters. I really want his green sweater, actually. I was like, I could wear that. I have the perfect pants to go with that.
So good.
You had a solid reviewing week, Laura.
I did.
Like, I didn't see Mary Queen of Scots.
Yeah, you dodged that bullet.
Although you can, because there's another press screening coming.
Don't do it. There's no zombies. Ian, what do you think?
It's funny because, like, you know, all three of us, you know, we're a little scatterbrained, but it's because, like, this movie just, like, it's such an emotional gut punch that I almost wish we had a couple more hours to kind of process it between, like, seeing the movie and then talking about it because it's such a ride that it takes you on. But yeah, it really, after watching this, you know, it really cements, at least in my mind, that, you know, Barry Jenkins is like one of the best filmmakers we have working today.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like in a lot of ways, one of the most important because, you know, like I mentioned before, the thing that I love most about this movie, the thing that I love most about Moonlight is just the amount of empathy that these movies have, you know, that they're coming from such a tender, caring, emotional place, you know, and that you can tell, you know, you can watch that on the screen. You feel that. And that's something that I feel like a lot of movies don't have now. You know, there's such, you know, kind of, maybe understandably so, a lot of kind of rampant cynicism, you know, about just, you know, the, you know, dumpster fire that the world is in right now. But, and even this movie, like, it goes to some very dark places, but it never sinks to a place of cynicism, you know, or feeling like, you know, whatever, it's all, we're all, you know, we don't deserve to live or anything like that. Like, and the movie has such heart. And it's so caring, which is a strange thing to say about a movie that, you know, it's not a person, you know, but it feels like it has a beating heart. I think this is every bit as good as Moonlight. It's different. It's in a lot of ways very different, but in other ways very similar. And I really hope that he continues down this track that he's on. And it's a movie that I'm going to be thinking about for a good long while. And, you know, I'm definitely going to want to see again. And yeah, I'm probably going to give it a 10 James Franco's wearing a yarmulke out of 10.
Dave,
the other one.
The other one.
Yeah. There are 3 10s?
The sane one, yeah.
Yeah.
The cuter one, the sane one.
Yeah. 3 10s. Yeah, perfect three score tens. For
if Beale
Street could talk and be like, give me the Oscar.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.